We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam to begin our celebration of Balaram's appearance. Okay, now I have to adjust myself to not waiting for a translation back and forth. I guess the first thing is we should check about hearing our translators. You're okay in the Ruski section. Everybody's happy. Everybody's happy in the Polski section. Happy. Wszystko są szczęśliwe. Okay. So I thought, let us go to the 10th canto, chapter 2, verse number 8. This is prior to the appearance of both Krishna and Balaram. We're hearing from Krishna prior to his appearance as he's giving direction to Yogamaya. Devakya Jatare Garbham. Devakya Jatare Garbham.
Devakya Jatare Garbham.
Sheshakyam
Sheshakyam.
Dhamma
Mamakam.
Sheshakyam dhamma mamakam.
Sheshakyam dhamma mamakam.
Tat.
Sannikrishya.
Sannikrishya.
Rohinya.
Rohinya.
Tat sannikrishya
Rohinya.
Tat sannikrishya Rohinya.
Udare.
Udare.
Sannivesaya.
Sannivesaya.
Udare sannivesaya.
Udare sannivesaya.
Word for word translation. Devakya.
Devakya.
Of Devaki.
Jatare.
Within the womb.
Within the womb.
Garbham.
Garbham.
The embryo.
The embryo.
Shesha Akyam.
Known as Shesha.
The plenary expansion of Krishna.
Plenary expansion of Krishna.
Plenary. What's the word in Polish?
Plenarna.
Plenarna. Okay. Co oznacza plenarna?
Localized.
Partial.
If you have a meeting, and you have small sub meetings, but then you have everybody together, what is that called when everyone's together? Plenary session. So, a plenary expansion of Krishna is a complete expansion of Krishna. Dhamma, the plenary expansion. Mamakam, of me. Tat, him. Sannikrishya, attracting. Rohinya, of Rohini. Udare, within the womb. Sannivishaya, transfer without difficulty. translation and purport by His Divine Grace, C.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Srila Prabhupada translated and gave commentary to the first 13 chapters of the 10th canto, so this is second chapter. Translation, within the womb of Devaki is my partial plenary expansion known as Sankarsana or Shesha. Without difficulty, transfer him into the womb of Rohini. Now, some of us may immediately wonder, if I just said that plenary means complete, what is a partial plenary expansion? And the answer is, that is a good question. Well, we may come to understand this in course of time. Purport. The first plenary expansion of Krishna is Baladeva, also known as Shesha. The Shesha incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead supports the entire universe. And the eternal mother of this incarnation is Mother Rohini. Quote, because I am going into the womb of Devaki, unquote, the Lord told Yogamaya, the Shesha incarnation has already gone there and made suitable arrangements so that I may live there. Now he should enter the womb of Rohini, his eternal mother. Unquote. In this connection, one may ask how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated transcendentally, could enter the womb of Devaki. Have you been wondering this? The womb of Devaki, which had previously been entered by the six asuras, the Shadgarbhas. Does this mean that the Shadgarbha asuras were equal to the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The following answer is given by Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur. The entire creation, as well as its individual parts, is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, even though the Lord enters the material world, he does not do so. This is explained by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 9, 4 and 5. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadam yaktamurtina matstani sarvabhutani na chaham teshvavastita na cha matstani bhutani pashyame yogam aishwaram bhuta brinnacha bhutasto mamatma bhutabhavana. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And yet, everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, myself is the very source of creation. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Everything is an expansion of Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet everything is not the Supreme Godhead, and he is not everywhere. everything rests upon him and yet does not rest upon him. Some logical problem there, one would think. This can be explained only through the Achintya Veda Vedha philosophy. Such truths cannot be understood, however, unless one is a pure devotee. Oh well. For the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavam yashchasmi tatvata. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. Even though the Lord cannot be understood by ordinary persons, this principle should be understood from a statement of Shastras. A pure devotee is always transcendentally situated. So now the prophet is describing someone who is qualified to understand Krishna's simultaneously being beyond everything and within everything. So only pure devotees. Okay, so who are these pure devotees? A pure devotee is always transcendentally situated because of executing 9 different processes of bhakti yoga. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnusmaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. Thus situated in devotional service, a devotee, although in the material world, is not in the material world. Huh? Yet, a devotee always fears, quote, because I am associated with the material world, so many contaminations affect me. Therefore, he is always alert in fear, which gradually diminishes his material association. Okay, so we know about pure devotees. They're like Krishna in that they are in the world and they're not in the world. But now we have this difference, and the difference is that Krishna doesn't have to fear anything being in the material world, but the pure devotees, they may also not have anything to fear, but they are fearful. Not fearful in a mundane way, but in a spiritual way, because they're afraid of the effect. They're cautious. They're vigilant about being contaminated. Now, this leads into Prabhupada's final paragraph. He says, symbolically, Mother Devaki's constant fear of Kamsa was purifying her. A pure devotee should always fear material association, and in this way, all the asuras of material association will be killed, as the Shadgarbha suras were killed by Kamsa. Okay, so now we have a little analogy. Something like allegory, in fact. Continuing the purport. It is said that from the mind, Marichi appears. Marichi, who is this? In other words, Marichi is an incarnation of the mind. All right. Marichi has 6 sons. Do you want to know the names of the 6 sons of Marichi? Probably when you woke up this morning, you didn't know that you were going to be hearing about the 6 sons of Marichi. But here we are. So here we go. I think you know their names. Kama, Krodha, Lobha,
Moha,
madha, madha, moha, and matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. Imagine being someone who has one of these names. Fortunately, we don't. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. That's not controversial. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Bhaktir evainam darshayati. Bhakti eva enam darshayati. Yes. Darshayati means to cause to appear. So bhakti, eva, bhakti alone, makes this, enam, referring to the Lord, be visible, darshayati. Only bhakti can bring one in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Also non-controversial, hopefully. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Devaki, and therefore Devaki symbolically represents bhakti. And Kamsa symbolically represents material fear, strach. When a pure devotee always fears material association, his real position of bhakti is manifested, and he naturally becomes uninterested in material enjoyment. Now, at this point, you may start to wonder, what does this have to do with Balaram? Well, keep listening. When the six sons of Marichi are killed by such fear, remember, fear is equated with Kamsa, and one is freed from material contamination within the womb of bhakti, remember, bhakti is Devaki, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. Isn't that cool? Thus, the seventh pregnancy of Devaki signifies the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Wait a minute. I thought Krishna is the eighth birth of Devaki. Okay. After the six sons, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya are killed, the Shesha incarnation creates a suitable situation for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, when one awakens, one's natural Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna, appears. This is the explanation given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And so ends Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Balarama ki jai. So, we're here getting, because today is the appearance day of Balaram, so here we hear something about how he appears, or rather, prior to his appearance. And this connects us too, in a very direct way, to Balaram, because we understand how the process of bhakti and the appearance of the Lord are related, and they are related through a process of fear. We might say that Kamsa is here acting as an agent for the appearance of Krishna. And we know all about Kamsa's terrible activities, really quite horrible activity of killing the Shadgarbhas, but it seems that they were meant to be killed, and here we understand why they're meant to be killed. They're meant to be destroyed because they represent these six obstacles to pure bhakti, sometimes referred to as highway robbers, stealing away, taking away our wealth. What is our wealth? It is the devotion that we are, the devotional creeper that we are working, cultivating to make tall and strong and sturdy in order to reach up, in order to be able to climb up through this world to the lotus feet of the Lord. Making this bhakti lata strong is also very much a matter of receiving the blessings of Balarama. Bala means strength, and strength is what we want. Not material strength, but spiritual strength. And it is indeed Balaram who can bless us with spiritual strength. What is spiritual strength? Spiritual strength is often associated with determination. The determination to practice spiritual life, to say yes to Krishna, to say no to Maya. Always say yes to Krishna, to always say no to Maya. That involves strength because Maya can be very strong. And we know that in fact Maya can be so much stronger than we are. Infinitely stronger than we are. And therefore to have the foolish idea I will be stronger than Maya is just that. It's foolish. However, with the shelter of Balaram, Baladeva, Balabhadra, we can overcome. We shall overcome. There's a song, right? We shall overcome. We shall overcome. How does it go? We shall overcome one day. So, this indeed is our conviction. That we shall overcome Maya, but not on our own strength, but rather by the strength of Balaram. And so, we can pray to Balaram as follows. Namaste.
Namaste.
Astu.
Astu.
Halagrama.
Halagrama.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Mushalayudha.
Mushalayudha.
Namaste,
Namaste.
Revatikanta.
Revatikanta.
Namaste,
Namaste.
Bhakta Vatsala.
Vatsala.
Namaste,
Namaste.
Balinam.
Balinam.
Shrestha.
Shrestha.
Namaste,
Namaste.
Dharanidara.
Dharanidara.
Pralambare.
Pralambare.
Namaste stu.
Namaste stu.
Ehi.
Ehi.
Mam.
Ma.
Krishna Purvaja.
Krishna Purvaja.
Yeah, these are describing qualities and activities of Krishna, of Balaram. Halagrama. Namaste stu halagrama. Balaram has a weapon, namely the hala. He's also called Haladara. This is referred to as a weapon But what is it? It's a plow, and we don't usually think of plows as weapons, rather we think of them as tools. And what is it a tool for? It's a tool for plowing. Plowing is done by farmers. Balaram is the original farmer. He's the primordial farmer. He can be worshipped by farmers. Because whereas Krishna is the cowherd, and so he carries a bugle and a flute and a cowherding stick and a rope, Balaram carries a plow. And he does things with this plow. What does he do? He pulls the plow. Balaram is known as Sankarsana. Karshana means pulling, drawing, attracting. Sam means complete or fully or together. He attracts, he draws. He plows. And one way that he plows is that he draws, he brings Yamuna, the Yamuna River, toward to himself. When he calls the Yamuna, and he does so in a state of slight intoxication, because Balaram likes to drink. But what does he drink? He drinks Varuni beverage. Varuni is the bona fide form of intoxication for Vaishnavas once a year. On this day, isn't it?
Yes.
Is there going to be Varuni today? We have to ask the cooks. There will be Charanamrita. And Charanamrita is a form of Varuni. Actually, Varuni is a form of Charanamrita. Anyway. So, Balaram draws Yamuna to himself, not in one canal, but in many canals. And this is also symbolic, in one sense, becoming understood or appreciated by us as followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Nityananda Prabhu appears as... No, turn it around. It's still early in the morning, you see. When Balaram appears as Nityananda, he also acts as Balaram. How does he act as Balaram? One way he acts as Balaram is to draw, to dig, to create ravines, to create canals. Just as Balaram draws with his plow the Yamuna to his feet, so Nityananda draws canals to every door of every person whom he approaches, to whom he or his agents approach. He's creating a canal through which the water, the nectar of Krishna Bhakti can flow. So instead of everyone needing to go to the Lord, the Lord comes to everyone. And in this way we understand that Balarama, especially as Nityananda, is especially merciful. He is more merciful than Krishna, more merciful than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now that we're speaking of Krishna and Balaram together, let us remember at this time Srila Prabhupada's great desire, which was realized in Sri Vrindavan Dham, in the place of Vrindavan known as Ramanareti. It was here that Srila Prabhupada chose to establish a temple of Krishna Balaram rather than a temple of Radha Krishna, like practically all the other temples of Vrindavan. He said, let us establish a temple of Krishna Balaram and we will install Krishna Balaram together with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, Gauranitai, in order to show graphically that Krishna and Balaram, Gauranitai, are non-different. He established this temple in Vrindavan, and of course, also Radha Shyama Sundara are also present. And this temple has become so popular. It's the most popular temple in Vrindavan. Some will say the Bankei Bihari temple, which is the more, ancient, of course, but a very popular temple in Vrindavan, Bankei Bihari. But I would say worldwide, Krishna Balaram is most popular. And whenever you go to Krishna Balaram Mandir, especially if you go in the month of Kartik, you're lucky if you find space to enter the temple. It's packed. Namaste stu halagrama, namaste mushala yudha. Balaram holds a mushala, he carries a mushala, a club. And this is indeed an instrument for fighting, and he is well known as being expert in fighting with the club. So much he is an expert in fighting with the club, he becomes the guru for Bhima and
Duryodhana.
Guru of Duryodhana? What? Yes, that's the truth. Balaram is the guru, the club guru, the club fighting guru of Duryodhana. And they were friends. Huh? Balaram, friends with Duryodhana, that rascal? Yeah, they were friends. So much they were friends that when the time came for war, because, of course, Duryodhana and his brothers were all absolutely and completely in opposition to the Pandavas, and so after years and years and years of conflict and then banishment to the forest for the Pandavas and all, and then coming back and then again. So then there had to be war. There was no other choice. Even Krishna gave up trying to bring them together. What did Balaram do? Balaram said, oh, I'm out of here. I'm neutral. Because he had friends on both sides. How could he take sides? So he said, you guys fight it out. I'm going on pilgrimage. So this is one reason that Vaishnavas go on pilgrimage. When they see there is some conflict amongst their friends, they say, oh, I'm not part of this. They're all my friends. So why should I take sides? If they really want to fight, what can I do to stop them? I will go on pilgrimage. So we can also pray to Balaram for this spirit of neutrality, because the nature of the world is such, it is a political world. We exist, it's sometimes said that human beings are political animals. We have this tendency, we take sides in all sorts of controversies, some bigger, some smaller, some microscopic controversy. Ha! There's a controversy, let's get into it. We jump in. But Balaram can remind us to be neutral. Neutrality is a quality to cultivate. Being detached. So Balaram goes on parikram. He goes on holiday. He goes on pilgrimage. He travels around what is now called India, Bharatavarsha. And while he's traveling, he visits the sages of Naimisharanya. Apparently they had already begun their 1,000-year sacrifice during the war of the Kurukshetra. And there, the sages are all gathered and they're beginning to hear from Roma Harshana. And Roma Harshana is, well, we heard yesterday about Indra, how he was a bit preoccupied in his situation of sitting on the throne. Similarly, Roma Harshana sitting on the Vyasasana felt that there was no need for him to rise to show respect to anyone because he's sitting on the Vyasasana. Normally that would be the case, but if the Supreme Personality of Godhead walks in the door and everybody there, other than Roma Harshana, understood that Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everyone except Roma Harshana stood up and offered respects to Balaram, except Roma Harshana. So Balaram came into the assembly. He came before Roma Harshana, and probably with a slight smile, because he is he smiles. We know this from the murtis of Krishna Balaram, and we know this from the murtis of Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev, that Lord Balaram smiles. Picking up a piece of grass, or kusha grass, some sort of grass, darva, kusha, he goes up to Roma Harshana and he touches him with the grass. And what happens to Roma Harshana upon being touched, simply being touched by Balarama? He drops dead. We weren't really planning for our reciter of the Bhagavatam to drop dead. What are we going to do now? Balaram, do you have a suggestion? Yes, I have a suggestion. You take the son of Roma Harshana, he'll do just fine. He was present also at the recitation of Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. So then Sutta Goswami, Ugrashrava is his name actually, but he's known as Sutta, which is just a title. So Balaram teaches a little lesson here, similar to the lesson of Brihaspati that we heard about yesterday, but in, we could say, a more dramatic way. So this is all happening while Balaram is on pilgrimage. Eventually, of course, he will come back home. And eventually he will marry. And his marriage is, of course, to Revati. And there was a problem with Revati. The problem was her size. She was much taller than Balaram. Why was she much taller? Because she had survived two yugas. She, with her father, Revata, had departed from the earth to Brahmaloka to receive advice from Balaram, from Brahma. Who could be a suitable husband for Revati? The time passed, the thousands or is it millions of years passed while they were present in Brahmaloka, so that when Brahma gave his advice, he laughed actually. He said, all those you are thinking who might be qualified, they're long gone. So what to do? Well, there is one qualified person. His name is Balaram. He's a bit small for Revati, but I think Balaram can work that out. And sure enough, this becomes an opportunity for Balaram to make use of his plow again, this time to resize Revati. Apparently, what he does when he first meets Revati, of course, he kind of looks up to her, and then he takes his plow and he sort of hooks it over her shoulder. Well, one version says on top of her head. I don't know, but let's say shoulder. That seems more kind of nice. And then he sort of gently but firmly pulls down. And in this way, Revati shrinks. And then when she is just the right size, Balaram stops. And Revati stays that size. So again, once again, we have the power of Balaram acting in wonderful ways. Balaram is known as Revati Kanta because he is the one who is dear to Revati. Balaram is also known as Bhakta Vatsala. He who is, for whom the devotees are very dear. And it suggests his protection. And his protection of the devotees, we may remember in two particular episodes in during Krishna's childhood. Both of these episodes have to do with a bit of violence against demons. One of them is with regard to Pralambasura, the cucumber demon. Pralamba means cucumber. The cucumber demon came in disguise. Normally, I guess he looks like a cucumber, but he came in the disguise of a cowherd boy. He joins the cowherd boys for some games. Krishna, as they are playing, announces, let's play a game of fighting in two groups. We don't really get details in the 10th canto of how this fighting went on, But we know that the consequence of losing the fight was the team that loses would have to carry the members of the winning team on their shoulders and go around in that way, which, you know, that's also fun. So they're having fun fighting, and this is, of course, very different from the fighting that's going on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. This is fun fight. And in this fun fight, one side is defeated, and it's the side of Krishna. What? The side of Krishna gets defeated? How is that possible? Well, if Krishna wants to be defeated, he can be defeated. If he allows himself. For fun, Krishna sometimes gets defeated by his friends, so that his friends can say, ha, 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 we defeated you, Krishna. And Krishna laughs, yes, ha, 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 you defeated me. And in this way they have fun. Who was on the side of Krishna? The cucumber demon. Pralamba Asura was disguised as one of the cowherd boys, and he was manipulating the situation, you could say, or he was working in such a way that he would be able to take Balaram on his shoulders. And of course he had a plan. What does he do? He takes Balaram away, some distance away from the other cowherd boys. He's carrying him on his shoulders. They're walking and walking, and as they're going, Balaram becomes heavier and heavier and heavier. And he becomes so heavy that the cucumber becomes a cucumber. Well, it doesn't exactly say that. But somehow he manifests himself in his form as a demon. And according to Kavi Karnapura's Ananda Vrindavan Champu, at this point, Balaram calls out to Krishna, Krishna, it's a demon. What should I do now? And Krishna calls back, you know what to do, Balaram. You don't need my advice. Just remember who you are. So Balaram remembers, oh yeah, I'm Balaram. Oh yes, I'm Balaram, I'm Baladev. And so what does he do? He takes his fist, and with one swipe of his fist, he smashes Pralambasura into pieces. Gaur Premanande! And the devotees cheer, and the coward boys cheer, and they all say, sadhu, sadhu! And then they all go have lunch. Because when Krishna or Balaram kills a demon, it's time for lunch. Yes. Now, back to the point, which is that Balaram is Bhaktavatsala. He protects his devotees. And specifically, he protects his devotees from this, from the demonic attitude, which can develop, which is associated with Pralambasura. There are all kinds of demonic attitudes, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur identifies specific ones with specific demons, and I don't remember the specific demonic, but it's it's certainly that which is opposed to bhakti. And so bhakta vatsala, the Lord, who is for whom the devotees are dear, kills those demons just with one punch of his fist. So you can meditate on the fist of Balaram. When you feel that there is some obstacle to your devotion that is somehow creeping up in your heart and appearing before you and making trouble for you, then what to remember? You can remember the fist of Balaram. And since, and while you're at it, you're remembering the fist of Balaram, you can also remember Balaram. The whole of Balaram and how Balaram is assisting Krishna in his pastimes. In so many ways, he's assisting. He's assisting on two sides. One is he's making all the arrangements for this material world. And he's also making all the arrangements of the spiritual world. So the comparison is made with a spider and a spider web. Another comparison is made with the threads of a cloth, which are the warp and woof. The warp and woof? Otam protam. You know this, warp and woof? What is it? Popolsko? Votek? Vontek I? Osnova. Vontek I Osnova. So the Vontek I Osnova, Tsawa Shviat Yest Balaram. Duck? Duck. More or less. Correction?
Tsawa Shviat is Balaram.
Okay, Tsawa Shviat is Balaram. Yeah. Anyway, you get the idea. So everything we encounter is Balaram. And the paraphernalia for the service of Krishna, that includes all the paraphernalia in the deity worship, all those brass items, all the things that we prepare, all the kviyata that we grow and pick and clean and offer without bugs to Krishna. The bugs are also Balaram, but we don't offer them to Krishna. Yeah. Anyway, this prayer goes on. Namaste Balinam Sreshta. You're the best of those who are powerful. And Namaste Dharani Dara. Dharani Dara. You are the one who holds up the world. You are Shesha. Ananta Shesha. Pralamba Ari. You're the enemy of Pralamba. Namaste Stu. Ehi Mang Krishna Purvaja. Krishna Purvaja. You are born before Krishna. You are the older brother, Purvaja. Anuja is younger. Purvaja is older. He is older than Krishna. Why? Because as Lakshmana, he makes a vow, a determination in the Treta Yuga that he is not going to appear as the younger brother of the Lord ever again, because being the younger brother was too much frustration for him. As Lakshmana had to be ever so obedient, he had to He had to yield to Rama's will, and sometimes this was extremely awkward for him to do. And so he said, okay, that's it. Next time, I'm going to be the older brother. I'm going to tell Krishna what to do. But actually, what happens is that's not his mood at all. His mood is he's a servant of Krishna. His mood is to be protective of Krishna. As his older brother, he's always looking how to protect Krishna. And Krishna and Balaram have a very sweet relationship, and this is demonstrated in one verse, or maybe it's two in the Bhagavatam. I think it's in 21st chapter, 10th canto. When they're walking in Vrindavan together, Krishna and Balaram, and Krishna notices all the trees bending down, offering their fruits, and he says, "Hey, Balaram, look! They're all offering respects to you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So he's expressing his appreciation of the Lord in that way. Ehi mam Krishna purvaja, ehi, come to me, the prayer goes. Well, yes. Another way that this relation to Krishna is described is in a famous verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arusha Mritya Jare Jache Nachai Se Taiche Kare Nritya. Ishvara, the Lord, there is only one, and he is Krishna. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arashava Britya, and all others are his servant. And what do all the servants do? They serve. But how do they serve? Jare Jache Nat Chai. As he, as Krishna, dances, everyone else dances along. So the service of the Lord is not some sort of slavery, hard work, you know, back to the nose to the grindstone kind of work, working in the factory, on the it's not like that. It's not 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day. I just got a message from a lady in Hong Kong. She works in a bank, and she has to work until 9 o'clock in the evening. She said, "It's so hard for me to chant my rounds." Sometimes staying up till 12 midnight. So everyone's working hard in this world, and everyone is serving, but who are we serving in this world? So Balaram teaches us how to serve. In the only way which is liberating, in the way which is enabling us to unfold our true freedom to act as perfect assistants. Balaram is the perfect assistant to the Lord, and we can assist Balaram in his assistance to the Lord. As such, Balaram is the original guru. Guru, one of the functions of guru is what? To teach us how to serve the Lord. He points the way how to serve. This is how, here's how you can serve the Lord. And Balaram is showing how to do that. So he's the original guru, Adi Guru. So today is our day for remembering Lord Balaram and remembering that we are servants as Balaram is a servant. We have the opportunity to serve, and we have the privilege. What's the word for privilege? Vilai. Shavilai. Okay. Mame Pshavilai Lei. Mame Pshavilai Slujbodanya Do Dla Dla Balaram E Krishna. Hare Krishna. Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Balarama ki jai, Krishna Balarama ki jai, Balaram Purnima Mahotsava ki
jai,
Ananta Goti Vaishnavinda ki
jai,
Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna.